From the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush.
All right, so we're here. It's the Velaversary. So it's been 1 year since Vela's been out. We're going to quick do a round table of intros and what you write. I'm JP Reinflush, one of the co-authors of Nerds.
Yeah.
Next.
I'm Christine Daigle. I write under LP Styles. We write The Molecule Thief and Dark is Away.
I'm DL Croizette, and I'm one half of Willa Drew. We write YANA romances.
And I'm Azriel Lawless, and I write Gendlina, Good Witch of the West, and a few others.
I'm Gala Russ, and I'm the second half of the Willa Drew romance duo extraordinaire. Gage.
Perfect.
And I'm Gage Greenwood, both halves of Gage Greenwood. And I write Winter's Myths, Bunker Dogs, On a Clear Day, You Can See Block Island, and A Glass World.
Show off remembering what you write and everything.
It took me a minute on one of them. I was like, what was that last one?
I was doing. Like, should I say the names of the things? And I'm like, I don't remember half of them. I have so many.
Oh, I love it. So I have one quick burning question in the back of my mind, and that is for Gage and Azriel. I know that you guys have a bit of a good-natured feud between you two. I've seen it on YouTube. And I want to know, how did that feud start and what has kept it going?
Gage, I don't even remember. Do you?
So, first it's important to know that, like, when I started off on Vela, and it was like the beginning of my publishing career, like, it wasn't just starting on Vela. It was a complete dumb guy trying to make his way into the publishing world. Azriel was one of the first people to message me and like give me a helping hand. She was really sweet, and we've been friends ever since. So when she started her YouTube channel, I think there was just like in one of her interviews, somebody brought me up, and she like made a sound, like it wasn't even like anything, but I took it as like, Azriel doesn't like when I get brought up on the show. So then anytime anyone brought me up on the show, it just became a bigger and bigger deal. And now I think people only bring me up on the show just to get a reaction out of her.
I've been wondering. Oh, No, I think it's deserved. I think a lot of people have read your stuff and they know that, but I couldn't remember how we started that thing. But it's been fun.
I started making TikTok videos of it, like of just all the different reactions she's made when my name gets called.
I want to see that.
You need a link for that. All right. So I want to know, how has your writing process changed over the course of a year? And for DL and Gala, how has your collaborating changed your process too? You guys can start.
You start. This is how it's changed. We don't know how to start.
How did our writing? I think that now we are a bit more planning than pantsing. I think we started pretty much pantsing all the way with the first one. And now in the middle, we were doing this thing where, because DL and I write very differently, I write linearly. I just need to say, okay, first this happened, then that happened, then that happened. And then we started kind of planning out the outline because it was easier to work together that way. But I still wanted to do everything in a row. And she's like, I'm going to put some here, then there. And I'm making like gestures on the screen. So for you people, but she was jumping all over the story. And then in the end, when we got to the end of the story, was like, okay, now we have to go and edit everything because stuff is not necessarily linking together anymore. And we have to spend a lot of time on editing. And the latest ones, when we were writing, it was more okay, let's sit down and let's sort of plan and let's start from the beginning. And I think she was suffering. I'm going to let her talk about it, but I think she was suffering. She's like, I have this scene for chapter 24. When it's only chapter 12. Now I have to remember it. I cannot write it down. So she was hating on me, but that's my side of the story.
Not hating on you, never hating on you. I now write those scenes secretly somewhere else. And then when we get to chapter 24, my scene's done very quickly. Let me tell you. It's pretty easy. But yeah, I would agree with all of that. I think the planning thing is the biggest thing. You know, we have one series, the Falling for the Liar series. We have three seasons of it out now, and we have five seasons planned. Like, we have them written, done. We're just ready, just editing them to release them. So the planning thing has been awesome because that has really helped us get a little ground on Kindle Vella.
Awesome. Azriel, I'd love to hear from you. How has your process changed over the last year?
Oh, well, at first I was just frothing at the mouth, turning out, you know, episodes, an episode a day or more. And my episodes are, you know, and they were running between 2,500 words, you know, in that neighborhood for some stories. Insane. And then, you know, 15 for others. And I, and, you know, trying to do social media and everything, I just about burned myself out, but it's slowed way down since then. Because I just realized I can't go at that pace. I cannot do it. They do not make a vitamin that would allow me to go at that pace for very long.
Not yet.
So that's how mine's changed, is it's just become, you know, less frothing at the mouth. What can I say?
Yeah. Yeah. Vella can burn you out pretty quickly. I know, like at the beginning, I was doing a lot more than I am too. So I totally get that. Yes. Gage?
My answer is actually very similar to hers. Especially, you know, you guys said that I rattled off all the titles, but some of them have been neglected lately by a bit, because I was pumping out like sometimes 9-10 episodes a week, just nonstop, and making the YouTube videos. And then I got sick, and I mean, that was like 2.5 months ago, and I still have not picked up all the pieces from that. Like, I can't just get my groove back. So I just learned to slow down and maybe speed up on one. And like now I have two of them that aren't going to be like a multi-season thing. Like Winter's Myths is going to go on forever. But a couple of them are just going to be a one season thing. And I just want to get them done now so I don't have to do them anymore. But I think that's definitely the big thing, is slowing down.
Yeah,
definitely.
JP?
Yeah, good shout out to my collaborator, my wonderful collaborator, Jeff Elkins. But sometimes he likes to send me episodes the night before at 9 p.m. And I have learned how to edit very fast, which has helped my writing process totally.
Very cool. Yeah, so Stuart and I, you know, we came into this having one trad pop novel that we had done together. That was our history. And we were meticulous outliners and revisers. And now we are non-reviser pantsers. I'm like, we just got to get it done, write an episode, go. So definitely writing faster, writing more like serial fiction, you know, hook, get in there, get the scene, get the conflict, get out with your cliffhanger. You know, it's a lot faster and more succinct than when we started kind of, you know, in the novel world. So I think that's how it's changed.
So Christine wrote this question. Oh no, go ahead. What was that?
No, I was like, it's weird how it was like the exact opposite of what DL and I did. Yeah. We're like we started pantsing and then we backtracked, and you're like the opposite. Very interesting for me.
Yeah. And then me and Azzy are like, we gotta slow down. And she's like, we're speeding up. We're pantsing.
We're panicked is what we are. I'm like, get it out. Yeah. Deadline.
I mean, that big excitement that came out, and now it's like, how do we sustain what we're doing?
Yeah.
I think that's the big takeaway.
But the slowing down,
I can't with seven of them. There's no way.
No. I every once in a while, I'm like, can I do a couple more? And then I'm like, no, you can't. That's not going to happen.
But it's very valid. And we were like writing and posting at the beginning a lot more. And now we're writing in advance and then we're posting. So there is no frothing at the mouth exactly. So we know that, okay, we have until the end of the year pre-written or whatever. So we know if something happens, like I had COVID and like I was out for a while and stuff happens, you know, you don't have that, oh my God, something is due tomorrow. You know that you have a little bit of that cushion, and that makes a lot more sense. And we slowed down too because we now are only doing one episode a week, and we started with how many? Two, three?
We were doing two stories, one story, three episodes a week. What were we thinking? And one story, we just did one episode a week. So we're doing four episodes a week, and now we just do one episode a week of one story.
Yeah.
When I interviewed you ladies, you were still going at that pace.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had two serials and we're doing four episodes a week. And now we only have one and only doing two episodes a week. But it's just like we had the stockpile of episodes. We're like, we're golden. And then I don't know, we just burned through them. And now it's like we're always on the bubble scheduling them. I don't know how that happened. Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm blaming you for this question.
It is my question.
What's the best money you've spent as a writer?
Oh, that's such a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Gage?
That's so tricky. I don't want to help you guys out with your sponsoring, but Pro Writing Aid has been a big one for me. And then
we don't need a commercial.
These are the code serial 20 and your professional cover artist. And yeah, professional cover artist. Awesome.
And professional cover artist. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say the same with us. I mean, Pro Writing Aid, I think it's sort of like a, you know, across the board. Yes. Yay. Wonderful. If you don't have that, just go, like, don't even think about it. But the second thing would be, we actually have an artist who we do, more drawing coverings. We don't do pictures. So we have an artist who has, taken our characters and brought them to life. And that just gives us such a little thrill. Never mind that it identifies us slightly differently with on the Kindle Vella application itself. So that's where I think my favorite. I don't know if it's our best, but it's definitely my favorite.
I think my favorite is always editors. I feel like that's just my personal tutoring class that I get from them, and I automatically get better and just, yeah, I love that part.
I liked the website that Michael Lee did for me. I thought that was good money.
Shout out to Michael Lee at Book Genie.
We love you, Mike.
I love it.
Yeah, Mike did my website too. He does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
I need to look into that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We're still.
Yeah, he's like a data guy, you know, so he sends you these emails with like every piece of information you could ever want to know. Like, here's how many people looked at your page, here's what happened with this, here's where they're coming from. He gets you all that information. Like, it's really good.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I totally agree with you guys. Pro Writing Aid, you know, website, all of that. Also Canva Pro for doing like my social media is probably the best money I've spent.
Yes.
And they don't sponsor us. Well, maybe they should. I don't know. What about you?
I have to agree with Gala on the editor 100%. And then I guess as a like business marketer, ads have been like oddly the best money spent because it's like the best way to get visibility for Bella for me at the moment. And it was insane the difference an ad made.
Yeah,
I had like a very weird experience with the ads because it absolutely made a huge difference, but it also is a lot of work. Like, I did not realize how much work keeping track of the ads, maintaining things.
What ads are we talking about?
Facebook ads. Yeah.
Facebook ads. TikTok ads and Insta ads. Is that what we're talking about?
Facebook ads for me. I haven't tried anything else so far. Have you?
I've done TikTok ads, and they're not. I don't find them worth it at all.
Me either. Now, but that was a long time ago. Has Zahn made any available inside?
None as of yet.
Nope.
No. I've heard a rumor that's coming, but I haven't seen it yet. So,
but you guys do have your author page set up. Yeah.
AMS ads.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And you all linked your Vela to your author page. Yes.
Yes.
Because you can do that now.
Yeah.
That was exciting. Finally.
Yes.
as soon as somebody posted it in one of the discords, oh, this is live, I'm going right now. Like, I couldn't wait.
I did the same thing. I was like, at the same time I was putting them on my author page, I was typing it on the Gagents of Chaos page to let everybody know. I'm like, you can do this now, look, I'm doing it right now.
Exactly.
So I guess we're kind of on that topic of ads. I'm curious, has that been the best thing that has helped you bring readers to your serial, or is there something else that you're doing that you believe is bringing traction?
I think for me, it's Facebook ads and a little bit newsletter building would be probably my two.
I think networking, giveaway kind of type things with other authors has been our highest success for both bringing in people to the newsletter and bringing people to the readers. And that's the raffle, the Kindle Vela raffle as well. And we did a couple more before. And it really helps not only with cross-populating the readers, because the readers who are in Kindle Vela are voracious and they will read through everything. So you don't even have to necessarily be exactly in the same domain, because I read cross genres. I read sci-fi, fantasy, romance, and I would read any of those authors. But just kind of being on the radar for people, that was a big one. With the ads, I think it brings people, but I'm not sure if it's the time expenditure is worth it, because it's not just the money you spend, it's also your personal time. And I was spending a lot of personal time. So, but maybe it's also because it was new. I don't know, JP, I sort of want to talk to you afterwards. How are you managing the time part of this equation?
I might be just setting and forgetting it.
But then it's kind of like droops. It doesn't really.
I currently am doing one a month, seeing how that does. I might increase it depending. But I basically, it's like a Canva image, and I try to look at everything else that's currently in the Facebook ad gallery, and, you know, like emojis really grab people's attention. Thank you. I use those and anything that I can see through the other ads. And I don't know. Most of the time it works out pretty well.
Anyone else have some magic way to bring in readers?
I started off, like, what really helped me in the beginning was just my YouTube channel, because my YouTube channel was about Vela. So any new author who's interested in checking the platform out would listen to me and then go check out my Vela. Hopefully, if I did my job right, I kept them there. But then it was definitely Facebook ads, which I'm unfortunately not running any right now, because I put all my money into BookBub and Amazon for my book. And I'm too broke to do all of it.
Fair enough.
But Facebook ads did really well for me for a little while there. And then my book launched at the beginning of June, so I stopped my ads, and that just happened to be the month when Amazon did that summer reading challenge thing. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of lucked out. Mm-hmm. Got the reads from that.
I've got a question for you. What is one regret or mistake that you have made in your serial that you cannot go back and correct now?
I can start so people can have time to think. Mine, as we said before, is I started them both too much like traditional novels. So that was my one mistake, that if I could go back, I mean, technically I could redo probably, you know, one, but it would be episode one would be such a cascade effect that I'm afraid to touch it. So that's my biggest mistake.
Yeah, I think for me, I mentioned this before too, I opened a ton of loops at the beginning, thinking it was more like a novel where people could get to the end of those loops really quickly, but pieces are still falling into place, like, and we are almost a year from publishing. So I would have probably opened up a lot less loops and kept that process different.
Cool.
I think for us, it's kind of about beginnings too, because you know, we posted all of Falling for the Rockstar's Daughter, which was our first big novel, first big serial. And we had a couple starts, restarts on the starting chapter. So our first chapter is actually quite long because we couldn't go and, like, we actually had a new beginning. So the first chapter is kind of like two chapters in one to try to, you know, change it up, because we figured that we realized that we weren't capturing the audience in the same way with the story. So that's kind of, I think, would be mine. I don't know about you, Gala.
I think that changing the names of the things a million times, the titles, we changed the titles on the things like three times at least. And yeah, like, that's really not good for marketing. And we have some old copy on the our pages and everywhere with it's called one way and then it's called a different way. We also changed the images for the covers several times. So I think that just like would give anybody a headache who was trying to keep track. We have a spreadsheet right now because we have how many things? Seven now, not all published yet, but ongoingly. And we have the original title, the current title, the title that it's going to have when it's published as a book. And that was just that has to be defined and just do not change it. Just stick with it.
Yep.
I think if I did anything different, it would be maybe not make the episodes quite as long. I think rising to the cream of the serial world are the smaller episodes, the shorter episodes. Don't you guys think so?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, someone was talking about scroll fatigue, and when you get past like 1500 to 2500 words, if you're reading on your phone, people start to get scroll fatigue. So I definitely do think that's a factor.
I do that on my own stuff, man. Never gonna end.
Oh my gosh.
That's when I knew that, probably shorter episodes would be better.
What would be your ideal length?
I'm trying to hit between 12 and 18.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it depends too, because you can't screw that reader either. So like Gendlina, which is my, I keep calling it my premier one, my favorite one. It's the one I like the most. I started her about 2,500 words. And so I've got to keep it there. Got to kind of keep that expectation going. I think I do. And I think Michael agrees with me on that too. It's just sort of like, that's what they expect, and anything up or down chaps their ass. I mean, you know,
hey, you can, it's all good.
Yeah. Can get upset here, so, I don't want anybody to get upset. I want them to keep reading, but, like some of the more lighthearted stuff, like the Naughty Witches Finishing Academy, I've been turning those episodes out regularly, 1,600 words or less. And yeah, so trying to write to the type of story too, you know?
Gage.
But still.
Gage?
Well, if you want me to tell you about all of my mistakes, you're going to have to extend the length of this episode. I'll just umbrella it with pacing. Is just in Bunker Dogs, I went like crazy with it, where it's just like hit them hard with the cliffhanger, and then hit them harder, and then hit them harder until I got to like episode 15, and I was like, I can't keep hitting them harder than that. So there's nowhere else to go. So I had to like tone it down a bunch after that and really slow the pace down. And then in Winter's Mist, where I know I'm playing the long game, I had so many huge questions that readers want answered that I can't give them for like 200 episodes. And I wish I didn't give them so many of that, because, you know, I'm sure eventually they're going to get annoyed with having to wait to find those answers.
Okay.
And there was also a littler mistake where I accidentally named two characters Frank.
Oops. So I am curious, is there anything that would make you consider leaving Bella, JP?
Yeah, I don't know. The current way that it works with the bonus system is like 100% keeping me. I wouldn't say that the bonus system going away would deter me, but it may slow down my process. I think that that would be the big one. Another one would be an all outright restriction from posting to other paywall serials.
Yeah.
I probably took the two big ones.
Good luck. Yeah, that would be ours as well. I mean, we love the bonuses, but we're not going to complain about that. But the ability to, you know, post on other sites and publish as books and cross-pollinate the two worlds is bliss for us. So if that went away, that would probably be, ouch, we'd have to make a decision, you know?
Mm-hmm. I'll answer it. Yeah, I mean, I think pretty much the same thing. If bonuses went away, I wouldn't care to. I mean, I would be very sad because I like the bonuses. Because I tend to put everything on KU afterwards, and I can do that, there's like, even if I was only making $1 a month in Vela, I'll take the extra dollar, you know? I think the only thing would be the restrictions on what you could do afterwards.
All right. So we've kind of touched on this subject with a lot of these questions, but I'm curious, what is that overall gut check? Are you happy with the overall result that you've had with Bella? And do you guys want to kind of talk about how your experience over this past year with Bella? It's a really broad question. Good luck.
I'll start with that. I'm like shockingly happy with the results because I know all the horror stories for an author just starting out, that they make like a couple hundred dollars in their first year if they're lucky, and you know, they don't get any followers. And I've gotten so many new readers because of the visibility that Bella gave me starting out, which is like unheard of anywhere else. You know, if I put a book out in KU, no one was going to see it. So to have that visibility was incredible, and to like have met some of those readers, and then with, you know, it's not from royalties, it's bonuses, but I made more from the bonuses than the average writer makes in a year, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and it's paid for. So it's been like starting a Kickstarter campaign. Basically it's paid for so much of the stuff that I needed to launch the book. So it's been fantastic.
Yeah.
And I got to meet people like Azzy down there.
Anyone else?
I think for me, it was definitely a great experience because first I got DL out of the deal, because although we sort of like played around before, this is where I got her. She could not leave anymore. We had to finish the serial and then we started another one. So we had to finish that one. So now this is a long-term commitment and she cannot leave me. But I feel like it was also good because it exactly did what you said, Gages, gave us the funds to get better, to get editors, to get covers, to get all of the tools that we wanted and invest in getting better. While if we were just publishing to KU, we would not have that opportunity. It would be investing our own money and getting a lot less in return. So I think that's definitely kind of like a scholarship almost. I'm really happy about that. The only negative thing about the bonus for me is the unclarity about how you get it, because we're still guessing. We've tried all the different strategies and trying to figure out what exactly, and there are certain clear signs, but I wish it were more visible and transparent as to, if you do these things, you get more, how stuff is distributed. Maybe it's just my hyper analytical brain, but I'm always trying to find those connections and reinforce certain behaviors if I know that those behaviors are going to be rewarded. And I don't quite get that feedback, I feel like. And I was amazed by the community. We met so many readers, so many writers, and it really felt like a little mini home where there was none before. A year ago, it wasn't. Now
there's yeah.
a community.
I completely agree with that, particularly that last point. I mean, you know, the writing community in general is amazing. I've been playing for a couple of years, but I think because we all started at zero and we all didn't know what we were doing, we all kind of fused together and found each other and the people willing to help, the people willing to pitch in, the people willing to promote your story, to talk about your story, to say, hey, JP and Christina have this, like, you know, this show and you should go on it. And then Azelle has this show and like, you should really do that. And it's like, oh, there is? Oh, okay. Like that whole support system was really comforting. I don't know if that's the right word, but it was great. I think that was a great thing about this.
Azria?
I've loved every bit of it, you know. I'm like Gage. This is really my first thing. I did publish back in 2013. I have two full-length novels and I published those, but that was like walking up to a well out in the middle of a 50-acre field and hucking them down a hole, you know? Couldn't get my family to read them. Couldn't get anybody to read them. So really, you know, Vella was the first publishing that I'd done. And it was so gratifying, almost, you know, as we've discussed, almost too much so, almost like horse hop at the beginning where you're like, oh God, I've got to write some more. I've got to do some more. And, you know, but it really has been pretty amazing. And, you know, I wouldn't trade the experience for anything. And like Gage, I'm going to just stay there. I'm just going to continue to. Why wouldn't you? I mean, mm-hmm. you know, again, unless they start restricting and pulling back your rights to post elsewhere, why would you leave? Because they've got a pretty good pathway for you to get to your publication.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree with all of that. And yeah, this was my first indie experience, only having done one novel with a small trad pub press. And you know, that experience was very anticlimactic. Like it was you're very isolated. You don't know anyone else. And like, we made some money, but not near the money that we made on Vella. So it's just been like, yeah, there's nothing I regret. The money is good. The people are wonderful. The author community, like it's 90% uplifting each other. And it's just been such a great family and great, you know, great experience for sure.
Agreed.
Okay, I have a question. What did you do with your first Vella bonus check? Do you remember?
I can answer that.
Okay.
Because, my very first one came from my my October bonus. So it came like right after Christmas is when it like showed up, you know? So I bought some more Christmas presents for my son.
Aww.
Aww. That is so sweet.
That is heartwarming.
Far too heartwarming.
The Will of Drews, what did you do with your bonus check?
Yeah, follow up with that.
Yeah.
That we booked an editor. We booked an editor.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah, I think editor was first. Yeah,
we had an editor in mind who we wanted to use. It was a little more expensive so we booked that editor. We are very happy.
Yes.
Azriel?
Oh, let's see. Well, I bought a it's like a hand drum, a hand pan drum.
Cool.
Yeah. The steel awesome. Hand pan drum.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. That is very cool.
It's so boring.
I know. Jeez. Our books are much more exciting than we are, I promise.
I was like, oh, I've paid for my editor and whatever else that I paid for. That's, you know. Yeah.
Well, my first bonus wasn't big enough to buy much of anything. It was just big enough to know that it could be bigger, right? Because I was expecting like, I don't know, 13 cents. Yeah. And it was like $90. And so.
Azrael also paid me $10 to leave her alone.
Yes, yes, that's right.
So Gage, you clearly have some type of fund. If people pay you, you'll leave them alone.
Yeah, that's my big con. I just annoy everyone until they pay me to go away.
I love it.
Well, what about you guys? What about you?
You did not answer.
I didn't. You're right. So I think I got like the cooped up COVID problem. So over the summer last year, I bought a camper van, and maybe I was a little too ambitious, even with a very cheap camper van. So there went some payments to that. yeah. It's still hovering there.
Oh man, but yeah.
The experiences.
My across the street neighbors filled their camper up with gas. It was $900 to fill.
Oh my gosh.
That's a lot. That's insane.
Like, buy a camper, then the gas prices go up, and then you have a camper, and you have to pay for gas.
I know it. And I'm like, well, where did you guys go? Like 14 miles out of town?
I would have just pushed it. I would have like put the brake off, just gone.
New truck. Yeah. Here we go.
Yep. Hope I live on top of a hill.
JP, I definitely know that COVID spending problem, though. Like during COVID, I was like, I got into like every collectible thing you could get. I bought a presidential biography for every president to build up this bookshelf of them. And now they're all in a box. And I only read up to like Jefferson.
such dreams and plans.
I spent an editor. It on my editor.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're
that's
right.
What it, if you want to hear like horrible COVID things that I bought. I mean, we can go there too. I bought crypto over COVID, so I don't know.
Oh,
I
guess yeah, 100%.
Don't talk about crypto.
I was like, this looks really neat. I was really into it for like 3 weeks, and then I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Oh, I love it.
I did splurge on a 9.8 first appearance of Miles Morales comic book though, and I'm proud of that purchase.
Nice.
I would be too. That's a good one. So we've talked about this a bit with how like our experiences on how we started Vela and where we are now, but what will each of you do better this year in Vela?
What are your
goals? How are you going to sustain yourself? Tell me. Goals?
What? I got to go now. My mom's ringing the dinner bell. I got to go.
I got it. Are you guys cutting out?
Cool.
Okay, let's skip that one. Because I'm like, really, I got nothing.
I'm behind you guys, all right? So my big Odilo is Gendlina's coming out in a book.
Woo!
Yay!
Yeah, I'm pretty tickled. I've tried not to get too crazy on the timing. I want her out for Halloween. I figured she'd make a good, she could make a decent showing. Bring her out for Halloween, so... That's what's going to happen. So, yeah. So that's what I plan to do. And as far as doing better, oh, God. Well, I wish that I could get back that energy that I had in the beginning. I would, I'd probably pay really good money for somebody to bottle that. But I would like to get back to my schedule. I heard you guys mention... You were sick, I got COVID. And then, so it's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing. You stumble. And if you're writing your stories as you go, you get behind and it's very difficult to get caught up again. So I want to be like you guys. I want to go. I want to schedule ahead. I want to have a life. Yes.
You need me on your team. I'm a very long-term project manager. I worked as a project manager for many, many years.
Oh,
so I'm very good at making
my
people
team of one.
Do things. You should see the Excel spreadsheets is all I have to say. And please note that was plural, Excel spreadsheets.
I'm a project manager nerd, so if you ever need help with goal setting and goal fulfillment, and we do have monthly meetings. We skipped one in June, partially because of the whole COVID thing, but we normally have, and we started that in September, right?
Yep.
I think I made her because I'm like, I can't just sit there and I do not know what I'm doing. I need to know what's the happening. What are we trying to do mm-hmm. this month? What are we trying to do this quarter? We're trying to do this year. Is it actually what we are doing after? No, like half of the staff falls through with changes or whatever, but it's just nice to have something to work toward.
It's like my annual review at my old
perfect world. A lot like that.
You actually gonna hit any of those? No.
But it's nice. It's nice to have. Mm-hmm. You're not gonna hit them all. It's not possible. Sometimes I think one of the months we planned 137 hours for one work week for one person. Like that's totally getting done. You're totally working 137 hours in the. I don't know how many hours there are in the work week. That's not it.
But you know, at least we're working for ourselves.
Yes.
That's true.
Yeah, gotta keep remembering that. That is a good thing. That is a good thing.
But we're also kind of like on KDP adjacent path where we are really focusing on publishing this year. And this is our first year that we published our first book. Which is Starstruck as the first series. And we went with the smallest novella that we have. It's kind of novella sized. It's the first season of a serial just to learn how all of it works. Cause some of you guys had some other publishing experience. We had nothing. We had no clue what we did. And we made so many mistakes. It's just a whole other show, but now we have a book. Mine. Yeah.
My enviable experience.
But now we have another book coming out in September that is our original first serial that we started, and we were going to go and publish that one first. And then I said, no, let's make a mistake on something smaller that is not as valuable to us and we're not as attached to. And then we go and hopefully the second one, we don't screw up quite as badly on the book. So the second one is coming out in September. That's the Weeb Land that's falling for the
Rockstar's daughter.
Yeah, and back to 15 different names for the same book. Bad.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I want to try and get out some mini books this year too. So that is the goal. I don't know if that's doing better, but
yeah.
My like most pressing goal is to not get sued by Kevin Bacon.
Oh, okay.
I told you.
And then my what?
I said, I told you. I think that as soon as he like actually reads it, I think he's gonna give you a shout out. I just. I feel it.
Somebody on my Facebook is like harassing him right now, like commenting on every post of the official Kevin Bacon page with like, you have to read this book. I did not tell him.
Interested in being a demigod?
Yeah, so for reference, Kevin Bacon is a demigod in your series.
Yes.
Okay. Just to clarify anyone that has questions.
Sorry, which series is this so I can go and read it and also compound on the Facebook quotes?
it's called Winner's Myths.
All right.
You'll find Miley Cyrus in there.
And Abraham Lincoln. He's a nice guy.
And in season two, there is Lady Gaga and Avril Lavigne and Elvis Presley, Ben Franklin. A lot of stuff happened. But yeah, so then my like, I really need to do a goal would be to just finish Bunker Dogs and On a Clear Day, just to clear that off my plate so I can hone in more on Winter's Myths higher seasons. Plus, if I can do that, then I'll have three books out this year, which would be pretty awesome for my first year of publishing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Well, I haven't gotten there yet. Don't celebrate anything yet.
Well, I feel it.
You have no idea how good I am at imploding, all right?
You've got this.
Check out the second half of this episode on the Writers Serial Fiction Show.